if you want to really see something that said, take a look at what happened. Oh.
On July 3rd, 2024, an announcement was made that Trump would be hosting a rally on July 13th at the Butler Farm Showgrounds in Conequenessing Township and Meridian near Butler, Pennsylvania. Preparations for the rally began on July 10th with an advance team setting up and installing generators in a large open field. This rally was part of Trump's campaign strategy to gain support in Pennsylvania, a state that some polls suggest could be a key battleground. Trump arrived on stage at about 6:03 p.m. Take note of the several timestamps that are mentioned throughout this video as it'd help in fully understanding the timeline of the shooting. After getting on stage, Trump goes on a rant about the increase in illegal immigrants during the tenure of Joe Biden. And at about 8 minutes into the speech, history happened before our eyes.
You don't mind if I go off teleprompter, do you? Because these teleprompters are so damn boring, I try and explain them. Oh, Ansel, wow. You guys are doing it. They're getting better with time. My guys, take a look at that chart. Take a look at the arrow on the bottom. See the big red, arrow, right? So that's when I left office. That was the lowest point, and that comes right from the government services, comes right out of Border Patrol. Take a look at that. So that arrow is the lowest amount of illegal immigration ever in recorded history into our country. And then, the worst president in the history of our country took over. And look what happened to our country. Probably 20 million people.
If you want to really see something that said, take a look at what happened. Oh.
A total of 8 shots were fired into the rally by Thomas Crooks, injuring Trump and 3 attendees before being fatally shot by a Secret Service sniper moments later. As the gunfire rang out, rallygoers shouted, "Duck!" A public assassination attempt of this proportion has not been seen in the United States for quite some time. This is because the United States has had a reputation of being able to shut the problem down before it appears. But what really happened in this case? We're going to rewind time and do a deep dive into the entire factors surrounding the assassination attempt, from the multiple witnesses who noticed the shooter to the setup of the Secret Service counter-snipers on the roof. This is one half of the Secret Service counter-sniper team. This is the North Team, and they are seen to be setting up. They're setting up their gear and machinery in their barn, which is going to be on the left side of the stage if you're facing the stage. This is the second half of the counter-sniper team, the South Side Team. They are over here on bar number 14, which is on the right side of the stage if you're facing the stage. They are also clearly seen setting up with their gear. If imagining their location and vantage point is a bit difficult, here is an almost bird's eye view of the entire environment. If you're curious enough to ask which of these teams took out the Thomas Crooks, we have the answer. Watch carefully. The last gunshot you hear is the gunshot from the Secret Service counter snipers. Let's hear it again. Let's take a look at this for a second here. The two buildings on the far side are the locations of the Secret Service counter snipers, while the building just down here is where the shooter was perched. The yellow line represents the line of sight from the North Team and the shooter himself, while the green line represents the line of sight from the South Team and the shooter. As you can see, there's a tree obstructing the North Team, but the South Team seem to have a very clear line of sight, which means they are most likely the ones responsible for the shooter's death. Despite the Secret Service taking out the shooter, they are still under heat for the obvious security lapses throughout the entire ordeal. Secret Service Director Kimberly Cheadle acknowledged that her agency did not fulfill its duty to protect former President Donald Trump. During a heated congressional hearing, lawmakers from both major political parties demanded her resignation over the security lapses that permitted a gunman to climb onto a roof and open fire at a campaign rally. Cheadle faced hours of intense criticism from both Republicans and Democrats, frequently frustrating lawmakers by avoiding questions about the investigation during the initial hearing on the July 13th assassination attempt. She described the attempt on Trump's life as the Secret Service's most significant operational failure in decades and pledged to do everything possible to uncover what went wrong and ensure it never happens again. Cheadle mentioned that she had apologized to Trump in a phone call following the assassination attempt. Cheadle admitted that the Secret Service received 2 to 5 warnings about a suspicious individual before the shooting at the rally in Butler, Pennsylvania. She also disclosed that the roof from which Thomas Matthew Crook shot from had been identified as a potential security risk days before the event. All these are verifiably true. Thomas Crooks was spotted by multiple witnesses, news stations, local police, and even the Secret Service counter-snipers themselves, but nothing was done. At exactly 5:06 p.m., we got this video of the shooter, Thomas Crooks, spotted outside a secured fence at the Trump rally. This clip was all from a guy who was just recording there with his cell phone, and you can clearly see the shooter walking outside the secure area. He's outside the fenced area, and he seems to be scoping out the building. The man recording the clip decides to pan around a little bit and comes back again to see Thomas Crooks just standing there outside the fenced area. The fact that he just stands there looking makes the entire situation creepy and eerie. And then, at exactly 5:14 p.m., one of the snipers actually captured this photo of the shooter. He was apparently using a rangefinder in his cell phone, and at this point, he officially became a person of interest. In the debriefing reports, it was stated that the counter-sniper flagged a suspicious man using a rangefinder to the U.S. Secret Service some 20 minutes before a gunman opened fire. A clearer timeline of the event leading up to the assassination attempt has begun to emerge after closed briefings to lawmakers later on. The new details sparked further questions about why Trump's would-be assassin wasn't stopped earlier and why the former president was permitted to appear on the rally stage. Thomas Crooks, the 20-year-old suspected gunman, was reportedly spotted early by local police, who flagged him as a skinny young man who was behaving in a suspicious manner. They notified other police agencies, including the Secret Service, via radio. At the time, Crooks did not appear to have a weapon. Later, around 5:45 local time, Crooks was spotted again, this time by a counter-sniper officer around the AGR International building, the one the gunman later scaled up to aim at Trump. The officer reportedly took a picture of the gunman looking through the rangefinder, according to CBS News, and immediately radioed to a command post to report the sighting. By 5:52, 19 minutes before the shooting, the Secret Service was made aware that Crooks was spotted with a rangefinder and disseminated that information to other officers on site. But guess what? After this, they lost sight of him then at 5:28 p.m., laughably hilarious. Wyoming Senator John Barrasso, who was present at the briefings, told Fox News he was identified as a character of suspicion because he had a rangefinder as well as a backpack, and this was over an hour before the shooting actually occurred. So you would think over the course of that hour, you shouldn't lose sight of the individual. Around the same time the Secret Service found and then happened to lose the person of interest, Donald Trump was on his way to the scene. At exactly 5:33 p.m., former President Trump's convoy arrived at the Butler, Pennsylvania rally, and his supporters cheered in excitement.
Our President Trump is in one of those vehicles. There he is. We don't know which one, but we know he's there.
The hour and moment was at hand. Thomas Crooks was ready to sign his name on the pages of history. He had borrowed his father's DPMS Panther Arms AR-15 style rifle, which had a 16-inch barrel and was chambered in 5.56 45mm NATO, a type described by federal officials as average for its kind and effective at the range Crooks intended. He then bought 50 rounds of ammunition from a gun store and purchased a 5-foot ladder before driving to the rally site with an explosive device in his car trunk. Crooks climbed onto the roof of a building approximately 400 feet north of the venue stage. This building housed 3 police snipers assigned to cover the rally, but none were on the rooftop due to manpower shortages. Crooks avoided security screening because his rooftop location was outside the Secret Service's designated security perimeter for the rally, according to law enforcement officials. Cross managed to evade the Secret Service officials, but he could not escape the common folk. He was extensively filmed and recorded by multiple eyewitnesses at the rally.
Look, they're all pointing.
The Atlantic, maybe the Pacific.
Yeah, someone's on top of the roof. Look. There he is right there.
Yeah.
Right there, see him? He's laying down. See him?
Yeah, he's laying down.
And Scott, I'm here with you, fighting like hell to get a Senate.
What's happening?
And to make sure we take back the White House, because if we do, we're going to make America better than other people. We're going to make it.
Yeah, look. There he is.
Easy.
because we have millions and millions of people in our country that shouldn't be here. Dangerous.
As Trump keeps on talking, things start heating up. Witnesses are trying to inform officers of the shooter, and some cops are seen mobilizing to the location. A woman seated in the bleachers looks back and notices this. During Trump's speech, this lady noticed that something was not quite right.
Oh, wow. What are they running to?
This woman is sitting up in the grandstands directly behind Trump, and she notices again that there's several people running over toward the building where the shooter is perched. If you look carefully, you're going to get a very quick glimpse of it.
Oh, wow. What are they running to?
Perhaps if the clip is slowed down and zoomed in, we'll see what sort of looks like a couple of cops running back over there from the lady's view. Now it is unlikely she can directly see the shooter from there because of that tree line, but you can see the police cars and the parking lot in the background underneath the trees. The climax of the entire situation was finally upon us. A collage of several clips was made to show what was happening in different areas during the shooting. Trump was shot and was fortunately only injured in his upper right ear. He raised his hand to his ear before dropping behind the podium for cover. Secret Service agents immediately rushed to shield him. After about 25 seconds, the assailant was declared down, and agents helped Trump to his feet. Blood was visible on his ear and face, and he requested that the agents allow him to put his shoes back on, explaining that the agents hit me so hard that my shoes fell off. A lip reader noted that Trump seemed to say, "What? Blood on my face," indicating that someone informed him he was bleeding. As he was being escorted off stage, Trump paused, raised his fist, pumped it at the crowd, and shouted or mouthed, "Fight! Fight! Fight!" The crowd responded with cheers and chants of USA. In addition to Trump, three men were injured. 50-year-old Corey Comparatore of Sarver, Pennsylvania, was unfortunately killed. Comparatore worked as a project and tooling engineer and was the former chief of the Buffalo Township Volunteer Fire Company. According to his family and Pennsylvania Governor Josh Shapiro, he died while shielding his wife and two daughters from gunfire. Two other attendees were shot and critically injured, but were in stable condition the following day. U.S. Representative Ronnie Jackson reported that a bullet grazed his nephew's neck. Four police officers standing only feet away from Trump suffered minor injuries from flying debris when the bullet struck nearby objects. Trump is quickly seen swarmed by his Secret Service agents and carefully shielded and escorted into the car where his safety would be secured now. On a slightly lighter note, the local police, for some reason, couldn't get over their own fence. They had no choice but to knock it down with a police car, and then all of a sudden a whole bunch of cops are now trying to get out of the area. They actually had themselves locked in there and unable to get out. After they get the door knocked down, they pour out in huge numbers and they run over to the building. Keep an eye on the cop with the ladder. There also happens to be a Secret Service agent running alongside them. A lot of the officers are trying to surround the building, and the cop with the ladder is seen throwing the ladder over another fence outside the building. It seemed as though the cops did not need the ladder, as they were seen quickly atop the building. Perhaps the shooter was kind enough to set things up for them, so they could just come right up there like he did. After they left the Butler Fairgrounds, the Secret Service convoy for Donald Trump immediately took him to the hospital. They arrived at the hospital a few minutes later, and you could hear everybody's joyous and relieved reactions.
We're front row, and my friend saw blood coming out of his head.
Oh, my God.
Oh, Jesus.
There he is.
Oh, there he is. There he is. There he is.
Oh, thank God.
He's walking.
Shortly after being confirmed as safe, Trump released a statement on his social media platform, Truth Social, recounting his experience, thanking law enforcement and the Secret Service, and offering condolences to the families of those killed and injured. I want to thank the United States Secret Service and all of law enforcement for their rapid response on the shooting that just took place in Butler, Pennsylvania. Most importantly, I want to extend my condolences to the family of the person at the rally who was killed, and also to the family of another person that was badly injured. It is incredible that such an act can take place in our country. Nothing is known at this time about the shooter, who is now dead. I was shot with a bullet that pierced the upper part of my right ear. I knew immediately that something was wrong and that I heard a whizzing sound, shots, and immediately felt the bullet ripping through the skin. Much bleeding took place, so I realized then what was happening. God bless America. Politicians in the United States, as well as high-ranking foreign personnel, all put a aside their differences to wish Trump his condolences. As for the shooter, Thomas Crooks, his corpse was removed from the rooftop by the police. His body was found without any means of identification. However, the FBI confirmed his identity through fingerprint biometrics and DNA profiling. The incident is being investigated as both an assassination attempt and an act of domestic terrorism. Explosives were discovered at Crooks' home and in the car he used to travel to the rally. A remote transmitter was found in his pocket, and he owned two smartphones and at least one laptop. Shortly after the shooting, FBI laboratory staff conducted mobile device forensics on Crooks' smartphones, which involved bypassing the device's security measures. An Electronic Frontier Foundation researcher suggested this was likely done using a Cellebrite device or a proprietary method. The investigation revealed that Crooks had searched for images of Trump, Biden, and other public figures, as well as dates for Trump's rallies and the Democratic National Convention. In April 2024, Crooks also searched for information on major depressive disorder, although it is unclear if he had been diagnosed. Investigators discovered a post attributed to him on the gaming platform Steam, stating July 13th will be my premiere, watch as it unfolds, though the authenticity of the post remains uncertain. As the investigation unfolds, there are still a lot of facts to be uncovered concerning Trump's attempted assassination. Whatever happens, what remains true is the fact that this is history and we are living through it. Thank you for watching this video. If you'd like to watch another fascinating video like this, click on one of the boxes on your screen right now.